summertime comes and we are ready for the summer. It's hot outside, everybody. That's right.
Welcome, campers. How's it going?
Welcome to all our little campers out there. This is our summer splosion extravaganza summer with all our little camper friends.
How you doing this morning, Madeline?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to rev everybody up for this hot, hot summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's hot. There's a lot of yikes in the air. It's the 90s, baby. Let's get this party going this summer.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, Ryan. When the podcast started, do you feel like I slapped you in the face with that song?
A little bit, yeah.
Is that how you felt when the movie started?
Yeah, you get slapped quite a few times with it. There's some interesting song choices throughout this movie.
Yeah, but
say.
It doesn't like let you in slowly. It's just like as soon, maybe it's just like the YouTube version that we had, but the second you hit play, it's just like, when the summertime comes. And I was like, all right, I was not ready.
So yeah, we're starting a series, I would say.
We are, yes. And specifically because it is finally, we've hit summer, as everyone knows. It's summertime.
The world's, you know, not quite on fire, but frozen, you know, and it felt like we needed to warm everybody up with an early summer.
Yeah, that's right. An early summer is what we needed, because global warming pretty much is going to make months not matter anymore anyway.
Yeah, you know? It's all going to change all the whole jam.
Yeah.
But we kind of started off this whole experience with not even a DCOM. This is even farther from My Date with the President's Daughter.
Yeah, and I don't really know why we decided to watch this movie, but I'm glad we did.
Well, I could tell you why we did. So we were doing the sibling dynasties last month.
Oh, right. Yes.
And we talked about the Cameron family and the Lawrence family, which this movie could use a little bit of Lawrence in it, I think.
Yes.
But and we were watching, or maybe it was just me, watch Candace Cameron on our girl CCR's YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned this movie. I didn't even know it existed. Camp Cucamonga. We even said the title. We're actually at Camp Cucamonga right now. That's the idea. You know, we're campers there, or camp counselors.
What's the name of our camp?
We're at Camp Cucamonga.
Oh, no. Okay, we're at Camp Cucamonga.
Or Camp DCOM, I guess. Maybe
Camp
or
DCOM.
It's or Camp DCOM, the Communist Party Camp or something.
Yeah. And some of our schedule activities are you can dive into the dark web.
Yeah. How to find the dark web is one of the activities. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Who's an icy nicey and who's a heebie jeebie? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, one of the things.
Yeah. We offer a course in that.
Mm-hmm.
What else and do you got? Which DCOM characters fuck?
Yeah, that sounds like something that would be going down at Camp Cucamonga. I can't even say that.
We not on our watch because we don't allow any funny business at Camp Cucamonga.
Yeah, I texted you after watching this. Or it was like during it. I'm like, this movie is full of yikes.
Full of yikes.
I was like, it's gonna be great.
And you know, as soon as Ryan texts me, it's full of yikes. It makes me want to watch it right then, which I did.
Yeah, so they mentioned it on there, and they said like, oh, Candace was in this made-for-TV movie that was on NBC in 1990, mm-hmm. and had all the big teen stars at the time from like different shows. It was like the Avengers coming together, and.
Exactly.
Who do we got? We got John Ratzenberger from Cheers.
He's my favorite. I gotta tell you,
he's pretty.
I didn't
pretty
love
good.
Him in this, but in Cheers, he's just
yeah,
love him.
Jennifer Aniston is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
We got Candace Cameron, of course, and then we got fucking Danica McKellar and Josh Savano from The Wonder Years. So Winnie and Paul are in this movie. Jaleel White, who was freaking Urkel, is in this movie. So it just kept going. And I was just like, I never knew this existed.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it totally makes sense why we'd cover this. Don't come for us. It's not a DCOM, but it's in the same vein. And I think going forward, I feel we should not call them by their actor names or the character names from this movie, but from their what their iconic roles were. So
there's a couple in there, though, like what's his name? I'm not as familiar with because it's a little bit before my time. But like Brian Robbins was on Head of the Class.
Oh, yeah.
That was his big thing.
I don't know.
Which I've never seen Head of the Class. It's actually something interesting. I was bringing up now since we're bringing him up, but that was a big show, I guess. It went for 5 seasons in the late 80s. So somebody watched that show. But Brian Robbins, he's kind of like, looks, he has like a mullet. He kind of looks like, what's his name? What's like the guy that's like real germaphobe, that's like a host of Deal or No Deal?
And he's on, Howie Mandel?
Yeah, he has a real Howie Mandel look to him, I think. Like early Howie. And this guy, Brian Robbins, is now the president of Nickelodeon.
Okay.
He is, for one point, was the president of Kids and Family Entertainment at Viacom, see, like the whole thing. And then when Viacom kind of like bought out, he was like some part of DreamWorks at one point. Like he's like a guy that's like directed a bunch of shitty movies and like Norbit and Meet Dave and stuff. But he now is the president of Nickelodeon. And I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, I saw that he had roles on The Amanda Show, on Kenan and Kel. He had all of these
little guest
spots.
Like all that and all the spinoffs, I guess.
No
way. He was like
the
creator of all those.
All right, I like him more than I did during the movie then.
It says that he produced them. He produced all that and all its spinoffs, which was like, you know, Amanda Show and Kenan and Kel and all that stuff. Isn't that wild?
Oh, that's so wild. And what's so wild, too, about the spinoffs of all that is, are you aware that it's still going? Like, they're still spinning off? Because it's like they spun off The Amanda Show, and then that spun off into Drake and Josh, and then that spun off into iCarly, and then that spun off into other shows. Whoa. That are still spinning off now. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, there's one called, like, I don't know what her best friend is, iCarly's best friend, but whatever her name is, they have a show now. And then there was one after that, too, I think.
And then all that came back recently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And since he's been president, it's come back to Nickelodeon.
Pretty exciting stuff.
That is wild. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. I knew, like, I think it got as far as Drake and Josh. But mm-hmm. I didn't really realize that iCarly was also a part of that, too.
Yeah. I swear it keeps going, dude.
That's a universe right there. That's a crazy universe of TV.
Yeah.
For sure.
And wow. Okay, while we're talking about this, I feel like we need to address SNCC really quick. SNCC,
okay,
really
quick. What about some SNCC? I mean, this is the main competition for Disney, I would say, we're going at.
Yeah.
Or Nickelodeon.
So.
But what about SNCC?
So SNCC lineup, we got Are You Afraid of the Dark? Mm-hmm. We got Cousin Skeeter. Remember that?
Cousin Skeeter. Yep. I remember that.
I think
they started playing stuff like Clarissa was on there and stuff.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning. And then, of course, all that. And later, The Amanda Show. But for me, SNCC was what it was all about. Like, I had to watch SNCC every Saturday night. Were you that way, too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
It looks like the first block was Clarissa, Roundhouse, Ren and Stimpy, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
And then eventually, I don't know, whatever Roundhouse was got replaced with Pete and Pete. Eventually, all that got into there by 94. And then Secret World of Alex Mack was in there.
That was a show.
And then at one point, cartoons started getting put in there, like Doug and Rugrats, like The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo. That sounds so familiar. What is that?
I watched that. I can't remember what it is right now. That's weird.
That title. Yeah. That was a good block of TV.
Can you imagine how much TV we were watching? Because last week we talked about TGIF Friday, and then Saturday was taken up by SNCC. So, like, when did we have time to have a life or do anything?
This was the life.
Yeah. But I don't know. I was just thinking, do you think it was detrimental to our development that we spent so much time watching TV?
Well, I feel like we both have somewhat, I mean, creative outlets in our... You know, and what we do for work.
I guess that's true. So it made us creative.
Like something. I mean, you know, we're always like had probably a higher aspirations of, you know, doing something in the but, you know, it's never too late. You know, it's an old man's game sometimes, some of this stuff, you know.
It's true.
So, I don't know. You're probably right. Did you ever go to a camp like this, or like a summer camp or something, or did you ever want to?
So I never went to an overnight camp, but I did go to like day camps, and I was a camp counselor at multiple camps. True story. Okay.
Wow.
And it was very exciting because before you can be a camp counselor, you're a counselor in training or a CIT. And so you got to have a shirt, and then you just looked up to the camp counselors and you're just like, I want to be like you someday.
And then when you were the camp counselor, was that overnight or no?
Nope. Or was it? Never went to any kind of overnight camp stuff. What about you?
I think I talked about, I don't know what episode, but I remember the only time was that Jesus camp thing I went to that one time.
Was that a camp or a retreat?
Or retreat, I guess. Okay. What's the difference?
Well, retreat is just for a few days, and I definitely
it was a few days.
I did that before, but I think of a camp as like, you know, a month long experience or more.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess not. But I watch so many camp things and movies, and it was so glamorized. In the 90s, especially.
Yeah, I was sad I never went to camp. Like
me too. Camp. And looking at it now, and when you hear about the kids that did go to camp in real life, it is very upper class kids that go to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't realize that in the movies, it's never portrayed like that too often. Usually, the bad guy is like the one person that's like the rich kid,
right?
But they're all rich kids.
Yeah, if you go to like a fair where they have like different choices for kids activities for the summer, there will always be this like rich kid camps, which are like getaways. And clearly you have to be super rich to do any of it.
They talked about it a lot on the Blank Check podcast of like these like Jewish art camps all these kids went to. And they were kind of like these well-off kids living in like Manhattan, all of them that went to camp during the summer. You know, kind of thing.
That sounds rad.
And it's sort of like, it sounds rad as hell. And I'm kind of like, oh, that's what they were. And that's, and so, yeah, I never went. I never did. I wish I kind of did. It'd probably be one of those things I would be like scared to do, but also enjoy it kind of thing.
Yeah. I think I would get homesick in a day and be like, I need to watch Nickelodeon. Where's the TV?
Yeah. It's always wanted to because there's so much. And I think we even say this because we wanted to. I think we're going to probably watch as many of these damn camp movies until we run out, I guess.
Yeah, until it starts being boring, we're going to just keep watching camp movies.
I think there's at least going to be like 4 episodes or something. I think we have 4 wrapped up. But this was one that was not DCOM that felt like it's pretty early on. And I was just like, and it kind of connected to the Candace Cameron thing that we had to watch it. And also, I'm glad we kind of did. It's definitely a time capsule.
Absolutely. I'm very glad we did. And I'm glad that even though we never had to have camp experiences, we get to now with this summer camp that we have. Yeah. And we create.
We're going to live through it through these 90s movies that are, like I said, full of yikes.
That's right. So. The summer explosion.
Summer of yikes.
Summer. Oh, we should just call it summer of yikes. Yep, that's what it is now. Summer of Yikes.
Camp Cucamonga, I guess it was also titled How I Spent My Summer, and also Lights Out were 2 other titles for this movie.
All those suck. So go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. It aired September 23rd, 1990 on NBC.
A capsule in time, truly. I think we kind of named all the main players at the beginning. I think here's what I want to do. Before we get into the plot, Ryan, I got to tell you, I have a fan theory that I'm going to have to expose. Fan theory. So I have a theory that first of all, was it super weird for you seeing all these people who are so iconic together in a movie? Was it so weird for you?
It is pretty weird. It's especially Winnie and Paul in a different context.
Right. That was so weird.
It's so strange because they're definitely they're not like they're older. It's not like they're younger. It was right in the middle of like, you know, Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, they're just going to. Like, like tomorrow when they go back to set on Wonder Years, it's going to be, you know, fucking Kevin Arnold trying to get Winnie and not Paul in this movie.
I don't know what they were thinking. You can't do that. That's a sacrilege. It's Kevin Arnold and Winnie.
Maybe pick one of them to be in it, but you can't have both of them.
No, and you can't have them be the love interest at the beginning. Certainly not. Excuse me.
And he's still, at first I thought, oh, maybe he's cool in this one. Maybe they're playing against his character, but no, he's a total dweeb in this movie as well.
It was so, okay, that was strange, like seeing worlds collide kind of in that way. But then also, I don't know, this one was the one that was so weird to me. Seeing Urkel next to Rachel from Friends and like seeing their age difference, that was so weird to me. I couldn't compute it because it was like, you exist over here and you exist over here. When you come together, it breaks my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to see how old she was. I think she was just 21. Rachel from Friends.
I don't see them being that different in age from each other, but I guess they were. It's just a time of like, okay, you watch Family Matters at this point in your life and you watched, you know, Friends at this point in your life.
And this is still a while before Friends.
Yeah. And so this is pre-Friends, but pretty much everybody else is already on their signature show at this point, besides Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, she's kind of the new, I guess she was on something back then, but it was not much.
So what happened for me is that my brain started imploding. Like it couldn't compute all these people being in the same movie. And it felt like to me, this wasn't supposed to happen. And by it happening, it did punch a hole in the time-space continuum.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think so. I think maybe this is the this movie kind of opened that up, and we've been spiraling down that ever since.
That's right.
You know, like it's almost like, you know, and like I remember you say you don't like Back to the Future, but they always say if you meet yourself in the past or the future, that the consequences could be disastrous. And so, like, this is what happened.
Exactly. And in this case, Ryan, the consequences were disastrous because have you ever heard of a little thing called the 1990 Philadelphia subway accident?
Enlighten me. I'm not sure I do.
Well, on March 7th, 1990, 4 people were killed and another 162 injured when the rear 3 cars of a 6-car train derailed. And so I believe that was a direct result of this movie.
Even though it sounds like it is in March and this premiered in September.
That's correct.
Okay. Why? Were you just looking up facts about 1990?
No.
That's what came up.
No.
How did you know? Okay. Sorry. I don't know where to go from there.
Well, just affirm that you think that theory is true.
Okay.
Okay. And then I have I have 2 more theories and then we can like get into the plot of the movie.
Okay.
Another theory I have is, do you think that all of them had like a little bit more time on their contracts and they were like, we need you to do something. And so they're like, everybody do this movie and then you'll get your hours.
I don't know. I think this is probably something they shot when they were all off in between seasons.
Okay.
And I bet you the whole idea was like, let's get all the damn kids who we can. And like, maybe like, we can't get Fred Savage, you know, let's get Paul instead. You
know? Kevin's too famous. Let's get Paul. But do you think it has anything to do with child labor laws? That's my third theory.
Yeah, probably.
Just, I got to say, something doesn't seem right. Something seems wrong about this. Maybe it's the Illuminati of 90 stars.
It is. You're right. It does. It puts off a weird vibe that I don't think I've ever felt watching a movie before, for sure. It's. But there was movies, I guess, like this. Like I don't think I've seen them, but like Cannonball Run and like stuff that there's like a bunch of movie stars that get like put into like, you know, a movie together that didn't quite fit.
It's weird, though, because I feel like that happens a lot before the person has their signature show. But in this one, it's like this was right when Family Matters started. This was right when Full House started. It just seems so weird to just cram them all together and put them in a movie. It just seems so strange. I don't know.
Got Cheers, Head of the Class, My Two Dads, Full House, Wonder Years, Family Matters, Mama's Family, which I don't think I've seen. That's Dorothy Lyman's character. Sherman Hemsley, that was in all in the families in this movie as well.
Oh, yeah. So, he was one of my favorite parts.
Mr. Jefferson, isn't that right? And also, who we haven't mentioned, who had this damn role locked down for about 10 years. Freaking Breckenmeyer is like the kind of like surfer skateboarding kind of bully in this.
I don't know exactly who he is, but I know I've seen him in at least 10 things.
Okay, so he was in Clueless. He's Travis in Clueless, who's like also kind of stoner character. He's in The Craft. He's in Can't Hardly Wait. He's in Road Trip and Josie and the Pussycats and Rat Race and Garfield. Like, and the thing is, for that whole time, that whole 10 years in the, it looks like this was his first movie. And from what I read, him and Seth Green basically traded off roles every other. It was like them two were cast in all these things for that whole decade of just like the same role. It was like him and Seth Green. And now they both make Robot Chicken together, you know, kind of thing. So,
oh my gosh, how funny. They were both in Can't Hardly Wait, though, right?
Yeah. And I think in Rat Race, too, they're both in.
How cool. So love that friendship.
They're like buddies, and they're both up for the same parts of kind of the stonery holdovers from I want to say Spelunky.
Spicoli.
They're like Spicoli ripoffs, basically, through the 90s. It's nothing too crazy you haven't seen before. It's a bunch of kids going to camp, and the camp is on, it could possibly be shut down, and they help save the camp.
Now, do you think our producer Eric was talking about this? Do you think this movie was partly the inspiration for Wet Hot Summer? Because it's the exact plot of Wet Hot American Summer.
I didn't even think of that, actually. And that came out, that was years later, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, this idea, I guess there's probably a lot of movies where they have to save the summer camp.
I'm going to see like when that kind of started taking off, the summer camp movies. So Ernest Goes to Camp was in the 80s, 87. Camp Nowhere, 94. That's later. I guess, you know, Friday 13th and stuff like that was kind of going through in the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Those comedies, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's like The Parent Trap was in 61.
Right.
The original Parent Trap. Okay, big one. Troop Beverly Hills, 1989.
Year of my birth.
That might have been the big start of this, because that was a big movie.
I just like to think it all started with Camp Cucamonga.
Gotta say, Winnie Cooper and the leather jacket and the ripped pants and the Motley Crue t-shirt. If I saw this, I don't think this got replayed in the 90s, but if it did, it would have been my favorite thing of all time.
Agree. Same for me.
Yeah. She's playing a little bit of against type in this.
Yeah,
I would say.
And I gotta tell you, at the beginning, it worked for me when she just like wasn't really saying much and she was kind of giving like the 100-yard stare.
Kind of emo kid at the camp.
Yeah. But then once she started having like dialogue, it was not going for me.
It was not.
What I noticed too was everyone was playing against type almost. So we had
Paul.
Yeah, Paul. But Paul was playing at the beginning, at least, the love interest in a way. Like he had superseded from being the side character to kind of the main character.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest mains are probably those two, and then also Jennifer Aniston are probably your three main characters, I would say.
And we had Jen, or Rachel rather, playing like kind of a nerd, follow the rules type, which she is not typically. And then we had DJ Tanner playing a popular kid when she's kind of more known for being the awkward type. So it was interesting. Everybody was kind of playing against their normal type.
Yeah, and Urkel's in there, and he's kind of like a cool kind of troublemaker kind of thing.
Right. And I guess Cliff Clavin was actually, like, he's kind of dumb on Cheers, but he's also like a person that knows facts all the time. Like, that's kind of his thing, is he'll tell you a fact. And he was playing like a totally bumbling moron in this. So everyone was kind of a different thing than they're known for being.
It's pretty wild. And yeah, you're right about Winnie, because I was just like, oh man, she's the coolest. And then it was sort of just like, and to be honest, I don't think she, I mean, this is blasphemy. I don't think she's that good on Wonder Years as an actress.
Ooh,
either.
Take it back.
She is great. She works a part, but I think she's
take it back.
Winnie is always like the magical unicorn with her theme song, you know.
Well, yeah, that's because we're looking at the show from the male gaze. We gotta. P.S. We have to discuss this. How did you feel about Winnie and Kevin not ending up together? Do you think it's for the best?
Yes, probably.
I think so too, but boy, oh boy, did it make me sad when I was 10 years old.
I probably watch Wonder Years probably like all the way through every 5 years, I think.
I need to do it again because I haven't since I was young watching it.
Yeah, I remember it used to be on Netflix, I watched it, and then when it was all on Hulu, I watched it all the way through.
I gotta go through again. What would you do if I sang out of tune?
Yeah, it's a good show. It holds up, I think. I mean, there's friggin' Breckin Meyers in that, too. He's like a kind of a troublemaker kind of stoner kid. So, they were typecasted for sure. Who else do we have? So, yeah, we haven't talked about DJ that much, but she's kind of like, you know.
She's a brat.
She's kind of a brat, yeah. She's hanging out with like the pretty boy of the teens going to the camp, and they were together last summer. And they're going to have a great time this summer. What do you think about that little twist of freaking Winnie ending up with him?
I thought it didn't make sense at all and was very strange because this whole time we get built up that Winnie is going to end up with Paul. Paul's the nerd. She's like the loner outcast and he is making an effort to get to know her. And then randomly, Paul's like, I think we should see other people.
Yeah,
and she's like, okay. Like, what? Was it just because Wonder Years fans would have been up in arms? I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they kind of just like switch all of them, but they kind of played up a little bit, but it was more like this jealousy thing. Like, oh, she's getting closer to this creep, or I don't even know if it was a creep, but that other dude that just was just like getting on Winnie. Yeah, at the end, he's just like, no, you're better off with him, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
It seemed very not in keeping with a 90s movie, which is that the nerd should get the girl at the end of the day because he was nice. And then you award nice men with a lady if they be nice. And it was not in keeping with that.
Well, Paul, it seems like he gets DJ at the end.
Right. He does get instead, DJ.
Which, I don't know. Maybe he... maybe... DJ realizes she could control Paul and he'll do her bidding.
Maybe. Yeah, it's really unclear why they switch and it seems really like last minute script changes. I feel like it was because they knew they were going to get shit from Wonder Years fans, but that could just
be. She can't get with Paul.
That would be like if you did a show and you had Sean and Topanga get together on that show. You can't fucking do that. You can't do
that. Would be rough. I'm thinking about that now, yeah.
That would not be okay. But yeah, I feel like maybe we should just talk about like our favorite things that happen for me, like the beginning with the bus. So like we said, they just hit you with when the summertime comes.
It's just loud. It's just, and also it's part of the sound from the YouTube. You're right. It's just like overwhelming. Just like the people, everyone screaming and just shit going on. Water balloons.
If I said to you, they really got their budget use out of the song. They played it like 8 times.
Well, you'd think it went to commercials and maybe it came back with that song. Oh, it's back on again. You know, I need to go back and you're getting some, rolled Doritos chips in the kitchen. And then you had to run back to the TV when you heard it was back on the show.
Yeah, we were like conditioned like Pavlov's dogs.
Well, that's what I read. It was a thing about like why TV show themes were so long back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a minute and a half was the intro to a show. And so it gave you time to like, you had the TV on for the show. And then when you're in the bathroom, whatever, you're like, oh, it's on. I got to hurry up before I miss it.
I missed that, Ryan, because now it's just like everything's HBO style where it's just like the name of the show in an interesting font and then like 3 seconds of music. They just do that now. I miss Cheers. I want to hear the whole story of the show during the song.
I think you got to blame stuff like Lost and Breaking Bad for that, for having just like the title on the screen, basically.
Oh, yeah. I guess they did it, too. But yeah, I always think of like HBO as the ones that pioneered that with like having just very quick images and very small pieces of music. I don't like it.
Now when you watch an old show on these streaming services, they have the skip the intro button.
I never skip the intro, Ryan.
Me neither.
Never. Not once.
Never. That gets you set in the mood for it. For the damn show.
Exactly. All right, I'm glad we're on the same page about that. We also have that as one of our camp activities.
How to watch streaming services.
Well, I was thinking how to write a very good theme song for your television show.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
So I stan three people in this movie. I stan the kid who follows all the rules. I stan the fortune-telling girl. And I stan...
I don't remember the fortune-telling girl.
She kept telling fortunes, and she barely was in it from anything. What was the third one? I can't remember her character name, but she was the girl who was, like, the actually nice to Winnie. Mm. So, yes, Jennifer, the fortune-telling girl, and the kid who follows all the rules. I stan those three people.
I mean, Winnie was... That was the coolest, and for sure. But you're right, she's... Kind of loses it, I think, partially through the movie.
But it doesn't matter because she wears that leather jacket. Cue the nicey niceys right here. Oh, baby. Nicey nicey. She's the best.
It's one of the main drivings of the plot is Winnie's parents. There's something, or her kind of like struggle, like what is she dealing with? And so at one point, I was just like, they're kind of almost like playing it off like her parents are dead. And then I was like, I bet it's going to be, I wrote this down before it was revealed. I said, it's bet they're going to getting a divorce. That's the equivalent of your parents are dead in the 90s.
100%. Yes.
And that's what it was that they're getting a divorce, her parents.
I saw that coming also. So I'm so glad we're on the same part of the same page on that. So yeah, that comes to its ultimate, like not that interesting fruition.
Yeah. I mean, she has the whole thing. She runs away and...
Everyone goes to find her on rowboats.
And now, yeah, they all get like jet skis at some point. And there's like a song that plays that's like, she's got a mind of her own or something like that. Yes. I was trying to find it. I can't find the right song. But I thought that was kind of yikes.
So yikes. And it's like, where do you think she is? In the water? Like, where are you going on the jet skis?
Yeah, at one point I was like, damn, what if her parents are dead and she just like got sent to what by her aunt or evil aunt or something to this camp, and that's why she's fucking emo.
See, that's what would happen in a 2000s movie, but in the 90s it was all about divorce.
Well, that was the thing, is that our girl Candace, or not Candace, DJ Tanner, she gets the titular line in the movie that this is the 90s. I don't remember what it was about. Do you remember what it was?
Like, I wrote, Jennifer, please, this is the 90s. It was because Urkel wanted to go into the woods alone, and the character Jennifer was feeling like,
oh,
not like she should do that.
That's my favorite line, I think, in cinema. Is this very is the 90s. Good.
Jennifer, please. This is the 90s.
I was trying to find like the trope. Like what was like the first thing to say it? But this came out in 1990. It might all come back to Camp Cucamonga.
Yeah. You know? As does the world getting destroyed. I think you can trace it all back to Camp Cucamonga. So a lot of hijinks happen in this movie, like a lot of classic camp shenanigans. But something that does happen is the boys decide that they are going to put a camera into girl's shower. What yikes. The hell? So much yikes.
I think that's when I texted you. I was like, Paul has this crazy camera, this video camera, and they're going under the floorboards of the damn shower to stick a camera up there. Like, rude.
And it's just this thing that kind of shows you, like, oh, that just didn't even matter back then. Like, you could do that, and that would be a ha-ha funny joke.
Yeah, it's just like, ha-ha-ha-ha. These creepazoids.
Yikes. Yikes on
it's
bikes.
Yikes.
I had to make that known. And then, okay. So, Ryan, I have to ask you. So the whole thing is that the camp needs an accreditation. And so there's supposed to be a camp like representative coming. And so we know that. And the audience thinks that that person is Mr. Jefferson. And so in the meantime, there's this plot line where there's this guy that the camp that John Ratzenberger, Cliff Clavin, a.k.a., thinks is the handyman. But in fact,
he could also call him Ham as well.
Or Ham, yes. they think that he's the maintenance man, but in fact, he is the accreditation person. But all this being, I was so confused because they kept having this plot line where this guy would come and be like, okay, I'm going to fix this and I'm going to fix that. And they would just go through like a list of stuff the guy was going to do. And I was like, what is this? Are they just trying to fill the movie with nothing? I was so, were you confused during that? What was going on?
It's just a bit that goes on for way too long where they just the classic switcheroo.
Yeah. When did you get it was a switcheroo? Because maybe I just stopped paying attention. But I was is happening?
From the beginning, really. Like, because it's a whole thing. Well, yeah, where where Mr. Jefferson shows up and they're like, oh, you're a little overdressed for a maintenance man. He's like, oh, I just came from my brother's wedding or something like that. I'm ready to get to work. You think I can borrow some clothes? And that's where it's revealed that he's the maintenance man and not the officer or whatever.
That must have been when I was looking down at my phone to play games.
Taking some notes or something. Yeah. It's quick. It's really quick. It's a thing you can't.
Yeah, I missed it.
It would have been a funny kind of thing if it was, you know, we didn't know that. And, you know, in your case and just kind of, I guess it'd be more confusing. But
I just thought they kept having a plot line with a handyman and it was supposed to be funny, but it wasn't. And I was just very confused.
Yeah, they just mixed it up. Well, the whole thing is that Ham and his wife are going to like butter up the representative so they get like, I don't know, funded. Is that the idea?
I guess
for the camp.
Accredited, yeah.
And the boys are, you know, Urkel and Paul and the other two guys from shows we don't know. Steal the stakes because they're going to have dates with the girls. They just cart around all this raw beef around the camp. And I don't know. Something just strange about that.
It was. But, and then the whole thing was that they didn't want Paul and Winnie to come with them because they're the nerds of the camp. But Paul ends up getting himself invited by saying he can pick the perfect spot. He can grill up the steaks really nice. And then he, of course, sets the steak on fire. Yeah. He's Paul. Well,
there's a good line where he's like, oh, I'm invited too, right? He's like, you invited them to a party you aren't invited to, but you invited them to a party you aren't invited to. And then they take off on the jet skis at that point. It was just like a funny little cap on the scene. Yeah. And then there's this line that Urkel says. He says, when we get those babes in the forest, it's going to be nasty. Yikes.
So much yikes. And so that part's kind of fun. And then what I wrote after the date was lost interest around the time of the date. All interest is lost. Can't do it.
There's mine's a little bit after that. I have that written down a little bit after the rap video. I say the movie's over after the rap.
See, I had the opposite because the rap got me back into the movie again. I was like looking down. And then once I heard the rap, I was like, wait, what? So, okay, we have to talk about the rap. Because basically what happens is they decide that they're going to save the camp with rap.
When people look at me, they always get jealous. Some people say that I'm uncouth, but everybody knows that I tell the truth. I get curious, even furious. When people put us down, I can get injurious. So don't talk trash about our camp, cause I'm here to tell you that it's the champ. Cucamonga,
oh yeah. Is it Winnie that says, what if we rap? Do you remember who
yes,
it is?
Yes, it's 100% Winnie.
And let's do a rap
like,
video.
Yeah, that's
it's
so
just
cool.
Out of nowhere.
God.
They're like, well, maybe we can do something like, to show that we love this camp, like a good way to almost like, and then I think she says, let's do a rap video.
Yeah. And I thought that was just going to be like, yeah, right. That's stupid. Yeah, but then right. Everyone's like, yeah, let's do a rap video. And they're all clapping.
They're like on the table. They're all ready to do it. Like, they're just like, let's do it.
Yeah, I was very confused. I'm like, all right. Yeah.
And they do a whole music video.
And
where
it's very good.
Urkel and
Jennifer
are the main people singing this white ass rap song. And it's like edited like a music video. It's like this whole thing. There's dancing. It's really kinetic.
And you can tell they're all trying so hard to be cool. Like all the white people are trying so hard to like get into it and dance. And they just look fucking stupid.
It does look fucking stupid, but I kind of love it.
No, I do too. It was great.
But it should have been the end of the movie. And there's like a half an hour left after that.
Yeah, we don't need it. Let me take a nice, when I looked down at my phone and saw there were still like 30 minutes left after that, I was like, no.
I think around this time, Paul says that Winnie's his main squeeze. Yikes.
And that's when we learn that Paul needs to play the lovable friend and not the lead. Nope.
Yeah, that's my last note, is the movie is over after the rap. I can't really think of anything else.
One of the big things is that in order to redeem himself, there's like a battle of the bunks, they call it, and Paul hits a home run. And my note was that ball was hit a million feet. I don't think a professional baseball player could have done it. It went so far.
It's literally like Superman hit it. It just like goes. It never coming back, that ball. They lost it.
Yeah, like hit a tree. That's like.
And they're playing softball. It's not even baseball. So it's just like the balls don't fly that far in softball.
So that was ridiculous. And then
it's kind of nice. I like the I made a music video a few years ago. Well, that was a kickball music video. And it ends just like I feel like I saw this subconsciously or something of just like the dweeb that hits the home run at the end and wins the game. That's a old dream of, and that happened to me playing kickball in elementary school at one point.
Aww.
Where like it was actually the opposite though. It wasn't, I didn't kick the ball and win. It was like the guy that comes up, I think his name is Matt, I want to say it, Matt Comenda, I think his name was, comes up and he's the dude that was, and the ball would just fly to another dimension, you know, with the kickball. I'm in the outfield, okay? Just like the dweeb, you know, I'm not good at this. I'm just going to stand in the outfield and throw the ball back when it happens. Everyone backs up, you know, because they know it's going to be like a huge, just this kid for like a 11-year-old is like 6 feet tall, you know, so it's just like, if you can imagine it, kicks the ball and it flies. Just doof. And I'm in the outfield like, I got it. I get smacked by the ball and land on my butt, on my back, basically. Like it knocked me backwards, but the ball flew up in the air, like straight up, and I put my hands up and caught it while I'm laying down on the grass. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. My life ended, peaked at that moment.
My God, Ryan, this is why my life, like, I never got that moment, and it would always be like, oh great, here comes Whitmer. Just gonna fuck the whole game up for everybody.
I think that changed my whole trajectory for like my childhood life, I think, was that moment, I think.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Went from being like this little band nerd, and then all of a sudden they're like, right, it's cool. What happened?
I had a thing where my friend's mom was the coach of the team, and so she would let me pitch. Which was a very bad idea. And I swear my self-esteem just like dove so far because it would just be like ball, ball, ball. I'd be like, that's enough. I don't want to do it anymore.
After three, you're like, I'm not going to finish the, I'm not going to get to the fourth ball.
Like, please don't make me do it anymore.
I never was a pitcher or anything like that. No, but
I wasn't anything, Ryan. My mom's friend was the coach.
How long did you play? Was it softball? Is that what it was? Or baseball?
I probably played it for 5 years, and wow. I was miserable for all 5 of those years.
Wow. Okay.
Just the worst. I mean, that's a pretty life affirming moment.
Yeah, you should ask. We should ask our producer's sister if she remembers that, because she was probably there too at that time.
Oh my God. I'm sure she will. And she'll be like, oh my God, that kid Ryan, he saved the day.
Anyway,
I'll text her. I'll find out.
They had the whole thing where he like wins the trophy, like the best camper or whatever. He should have like gave it to Winnie or something, you know, like wins it, but then's just like, no, she deserves this. She's the one that brought us all together or something.
Yeah, but then he just turns into a complete asshole, and he's like, all these other ladies are interested in him, and he's like, see ya, Winnie.
Well, that's what happens. It's true. I mean, I experienced it in real life.
Oh, so because after that big moment, all the girls lined up. Oh my God.
It's a true state thing that happens. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And I hid under the bleachers until the game was over.
Yeah, they're but anyway, yeah, it's bad. It's a sloppy ass ending.
It's bad. It's not good at all. I mean, the movie's not good, to be clear. Like,
it's not, but it's like a relic. Like, no one ever talks about this movie.
It feels weird. Like, there's some weird juju to that movie. Don't you think?
Yeah. You're right. It definitely opened up some sort of portal. Yeah. So
we are living in an alternate universe now, thanks to that.
Thanks to Camp Cucamonga, which is probably not a very, like, there's a whole running joke where Ratzenberg's always saying what Cucamonga means in, like, Apache or Navajo or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yikes!
More yikes. And yeah, I bet the person who would have cured cancer was on that subway train. And mm-hmm. now, because of Camp Cucamonga, they are dead.
It's true.
So,
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Well,
that was Camp Cucamonga.
That's a movie we watched.
It was a movie we watched. It. I'm glad we did. Even I like watching weird shit like this, weird kitschy. This is what this whole show is about, I suppose. But this somehow fit into the canon. I feel like.
Yeah, it had a very different vibe than a DCOM. But it's definitely one of those movies that's, you know, a moment in time. And it let us get to know even better some of our favorite 90s stars, you know.
It's no Mank, I must say.
Yeah, because Mank is Mank.
Mank is Mank.
Mank is Mank. So we're here at a summer camp. We're making snow cones.
Yeah, what do we got? We got scheduled for tonight in the on the old docket for tonight's camp.
Yeah,
activities.
Well, first we're gonna study everybody's brains to see how they react to different types of DCOMs and mm-hmm. Nickelodeon movies. Yeah. So there's gonna be a lot of that, like hooked up to electrodes and stuff. You know?
Okay. Yeah, we'll probably be doing that. You know, we'll probably do some calisthenics, you know, to see if you can survive when, you know, the blast is coming at you from the fallout and you need to get away.
That's
know,
right.
Kind of thing.
Yes, we are going to do that. And we're going to release all the kids into the woods. And if they make it back in 3 days, then good for you.
Well, here's one thing. There's a twist, though, for the campers.
Right, the twist.
There happens to be certain weapons out there for them to defend themselves with.
Right, yes.
And the winner that comes back gets first choice at what hot dog they want from the grill.
Wow. Ryan, you thought of everything.
Terrible. That was the worst thing I ever said.
Well, no, the thing is, there's only one hot dog.
Okay, yeah. We only have one. So it's going to be, here's the thing, they're non-lethal, the weapons out there, but it might hurt a little bit.
Yeah. And if, I mean, we're hoping only one kid comes back because we did only buy the one hot dog. Because we had to allocate all our money to the dark web research and the brain research.
And this is now with Hunger Games. It's a little Hunger Games, I guess.
That's right.
But yeah, don't sue us.
Don't sue us. You sign the waiver. And if you sign the waiver, that means that you can't get mad when your kid comes back or doesn't in some cases.
We ended up not passing the accreditation. Really,
no, we didn't want the accreditation. Mm-mm. That's lame. We're way better.
That's for
than
squares,
that.
For sellouts.
That's right. Know. Help! Help! They're yelling again, Ryan. Figure it out.
I guess we'll continue this next time with another one, a camp classic.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to say if this one's on or off, too.
Oh, I'm going to say it's off in terms of movies.
Right.
It's on in terms of like a time capsule and a look into the time.
I think it's on in terms of what you just said. And it's off in terms of that it caused cancer. Effectively.
It is full. It's full of yikes.
Full of yikes.
It's everything. It's some terrible stuff. But there's nothing else like it.
Nope. That's true. It is very weird, and it made me feel like I was in a weird place.
I was looking, but I started watching on YouTube, and it wasn't the best quality. And so you can watch this whole thing on YouTube. And I was kind of like, you know what? Maybe if I can find it to rent, I can find a good quality one for $4. And it's nowhere to be seen.
That's the problem, Ryan. This is what scares me for the future generations. Where are we going to get these movies?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you have to start buying movies that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to disappear someday.
That's right. Be warned.
You better, yeah. Physical media. Even if there's no electricity in the future after when it gets real bad out there, at least you'll have the cover to look at and imagine what that movie was like.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And maybe you could like fantasize about being in the movie when there's nothing else left to do if you have the cover.
That's the thing. I don't even think the cover has Winnie on it. I'm looking at the poster right
now. It has the three adults in it. Bullshit. No one cares.
Those are one of those things that's probably for the DVD like later. Like, you know, they were kind of like, oh, these are the bigger stars. Because there's lots of movies like that. Like, for instance, Elliot Page and Ghost Cat, and that movie came out way before, and they put them real big on the cover.
Yep. Later. That's how I got suckered into buying or to renting a movie on Redbox where they had made who's Mark Zuckerberg? Jesse Eisenberg, nice and big on the cover 5 years after The Social Network. And then how much was he in it? 2 minutes.
Which movie again?
Camp Hell or something. Something so stupid.
Well, we'll have to see, because there's lots of camp movies. There's Camp Nowhere. Yeah, what's the band camp one? Or the...
Last summer at
Music Camp. What's the camp? I'm not thinking American Pie. There was other ones. There was actual DCOM ones.
We're going to find them all, because we're going to watch them. This is the movie I rented from Redbox. Why?
Wow, he's huge.
And he was in the movie for 2 minutes.
What the hell is that?
I don't know, Ryan. Sometimes I just get the urge to watch a movie called Camp Hell starring Jesse Eisenberg. Sue me.
That's the biggest head I've ever seen on a poster or like a cover ever.
Oh, coincidentally, Camp Hell will be the movie that we're showing tonight for all the kiddos that make it back.
You want to give a rundown of what Camp Hell's about before we go?
You think I remember? I sure don't. I remember that I was very mad that Jesse Eisenberg was dead within 5 minutes.
Well, that was maybe like they were not doing a Scream kind of thing, because, you know, Drew Barrymore is pretty big on the cover of Scream.
Well, that's the thing. This movie, I guarantee, did not have this as the thing. They did
That was an intentional thing to have her.
It was like after Social Network came out. And then they were like, oh, he's actually... See, this was probably the original one. Wait, am I still sharing my screen?
No.
I'll show you. We can cut this out. But, like, whoever the fuck this is was probably...
Oh, wow.
No one.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway, we're doing a screening of Camp Hell. One hot dog for the first one that makes it back. Can't wait.
Yeah, the rest of you can have beans.
Yeah,
beans. That's what they serve at summer camps, right?
Beans and coleslaw.
We'll be seeing you in the mess hall at 8 o'clock. Does that sound good?
That's right. See you then.
See you next time on next. It's on like decom camp, decamp,
summer spectacolanza. We don't like pork and coleslaw.
I said there's beans. Beans and hot dogs.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
I guess it could be pork hot dog.
I meant to say beans and coleslaw. Beans and coleslaw. We don't like beans and coleslaw, but it's not Madeline, it's the kid. Okay, bye.
They're three women who like swimming. It's perfect for them. Makes them feel like they're winning. And there's no doubt this place is the one, because he's just a dude who likes to have fun. We got baseball, football, basketball, the town's the